time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order. For however you find yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio, there are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here on Natural Solutions Radio. There was another two studies. I have one on brain waves. One of the unique things about brain waves, and this was a study published in the Journal of Current Biology or Electrical Biology, and they revealed that people's brain waves exhibit remarkably similar patterns when people are standing close together in a group. And what they found is people's brainwave patterns mysteriously sync up when they are near each other, and astonishing new science reveals. Now, what they're talking about is, have you ever noticed you can get around someone and you have an instant like, or, you know, you feel comfortable around somebody, or someone else, you feel very uncomfortable and you have no real reason what it is that's making you feel that way? Well, now, from the Max Planck Institute of Empirical Aesthetics, they used portable electroencephalogram technology to monitor brain waves. They found in this study that brain waves synchronize when you're in a group or when you're more engaged with each other and also the world around you. So as part of the study, a team of researchers used this portable electroencephalogram, and they wanted to monitor and record brain activity from an entire class of high school students. And the experts kept track of the students' brain activity as they went through their usual classroom routine over the course of the semester. And the students were asked how they liked each other, and their teachers and the participants were also asked how much they liked group activities in general. So researchers at the University of Florida then used novel analysis to determine the exact brain synchronicity among students. So they're finding, and this again was reported in Science Daily, that brainwaves synchronize when people are close together. That's where that feeling of coming into feeling comfortable all around someone or not feeling comfortable around someone. The second study was also on pain management, and they found that someone touching another person reduced the amount of pain that the individual was experiencing. So the mere fact of laying a hand on someone in a consoling way reduced the amount of pain that the pain sufferer was feeling. And that comes back from an entire, oh my gosh, thousands of years where healings have been done according to laying on of hands. In nurse practitioners, they do a touch therapy, touch for health and touch therapy. But they found when someone is in pain and someone else approaches them and touches them in a consoling way, that all of a sudden the pain diminishes. So that's a really cool study. So both of these studies about even being close to somebody, your brainwaves synchronize, and then actually touching somebody helps to reduce their pain level. I think it's pretty unique because I think it describes how the brains of individuals react when there's a healing that takes place. Another thing they found, and I wrote something on that, on the how it works as far as how the brains, and they're talking about that there's actually three brains in the body and how these three brains interact with each other. The head, of course, we know there's a brain in the head, the heart, and the gut brains, the three brains, and how sometimes they conflict. You know, the question becomes, what is a brain? And it might seem like a stupid question because it's that thing between your ears and the gray matter and the master controller of the nervous system that sits atop the spine and under your skull. Now, behavioral scientists make an interesting claim that we actually have three brains that reside in the head, in the heart, and in the gut. And all three of these areas, three brains, have massive networks of neurons, and they have very distinct, separate roles. It explains the clash between sometimes what we think and what we often feel. All we know is how unwise decision-making works, and we also know what might lead to wiser decision-making. So only by understanding the three brains can we arrive at a point where we can make better decisions. So it says, enter then the science of the three brains, something that might hold the key to accessing this higher order of decision making. Yet before we arrive at this point, we need to look at something else. How can we possibly claim to have three brains? Because that's pretty unique. Well, the research is showing that the brain doesn't have a monopoly on intelligence. The heart and the stomach, for example, are fully equipped to do some thinking of their own. Sometimes they're giving the brain orders instead of taking them. And I'm not calling these brains, I personally. Science is calling these brains, because there has to be a technical definition of what makes a brain a brain. Your elbow is obviously not a brain, your kidney's not a brain, yet there are many reasons in science that actually show that the head, the heart, and the gut are brains. They have their own intrinsic nervous system with highly active neurons. And all these neurons have a complete range of capabilities in order to do complex adaptive processes. They can take on information, process it, store it, change, and adapt. And basically, these neurons learn. And when a neuron learns, then it's a brain. So we have behavioral modeling, and we can discover how this applies to life. Lo and behold, these different brains do different things, and what are the three brains and their function? So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph here at Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Thank you for joining me. I was talking about a couple of studies that talked about brain waves and how they synchronize, and talked about how holding someone and touching someone can actually help reduce their pain. And what we're looking at now is basically how the nervous system works. It's very different than we thought it was years ago. And now we're coming and understanding that there's actually three brains that can learn and do different things. I want to continue on that and just give you a little brief of how it all works. The first of the three brains is the obvious one. It's in the head, the brain, and the master of the processes such as thinking and perception and cognition. Our brains recognize things, making meaning of them. That's what our brain does. And it wants to create a narrative, and it masters language. So the head-based language sounds like this. I think, I will, I know, I understand. It's attempting to make meaning of the world around you. Well, the second brain is in the heart. Yes, the human heart. Because in addition to its other functions, actually, it actually possesses a heart brain composed of about 40,000 neurons that are very similar to brain neurons, that can sense, it can feel, it learns, and it remembers. So ask any person where they feel an emotion, and their hand will always land directly above their heart. Nobody gestures to their elbow. We know instinctively that this is the place that processes deep emotions. And what else is the domain of the heart brain? Well, here lies our value systems, along with the processes of emoting, the process of valuing, and the way we feel about our relationships. And heart-based language centers around I feel, or on the expression of the deep emotions and values that lie in the heart brain. That's why hugs, they found that people hugging, as an example, their brains synchronize and their heart synchronizes. And the third brain is in the gut. Now, here we find our core identity, and it's what am I? What is not me? What am I? This is the domain of the gut brain, and it's also responsible for safety and protection. Our gut is extremely important in upholding our immune systems, as an example. It also takes care of self-preservation, fear, anxiety, mobility, and action. Gut-based languages always think like, it takes guts, or let's do it. And have you ever had a gut feeling about something? Okay, so our three brains don't always align with each other. And have you ever heard someone, perhaps even you, say, my brain tells me one thing, yet my heart tells me another? Or perhaps you felt that the gut instinct that told you something was off, even when your brain couldn't spot anything wrong? Have you ever had a gut feeling or butterflies in your stomach? These sensations emanating from your belly suggest that your brain and gut are connected. What's more, recent studies show that your brain affects your gut health, and your gut may even affect your brain health. The communication system between your gut and your brain is called the gut-brain axis. Now, as far as we can tell, the information highway between the three brains is the vagus nerve. What they found, which is very unique, is 70 to 80% of all the nerve relays from the three brains all go up to the brain and not down. This is the reason when your gut and your heart are already in a reaction, it's almost impossible to talk yourself out of it. Okay, so your gut and your brain are connected physically through millions of nerves, most importantly the vagus nerve, and the gut and its microbes, what they're finding now in the gut, that those microbes, those good bacteria, also control inflammatory conditions in the gut, and thus in other inflammatory conditions around the body. And it makes many different compounds that can affect our brain health. Those bacteria actually now affect our behavior. And neurotransmitters and other chemicals produced in your gut are also affecting the brain. These same neurotransmitters that are produced in the brain. So the proper bacteria in the gut can actually restore brain function and a reduction in anxiety and fear. And a number of foods, to finish up this understanding, a number of foods affect the three brains. And those foods are oily fish high in omega-3 fatty acids, things like wild salmon or sardines, and the sardines in a can are perfectly okay, the ones in mustard or salsa. And also herring and mackerel. Herring you can get in any supermarket in the refrigerated section, and mackerel you can get in the tuna fish section. Instead of tuna fish, which can be high in mercury, you can get mackerel, which is much lower, less toxic. It's also in a can. Tastes a little different, but you can use that instead of tuna fish. So the other thing that's very important, aside from the omega-3 fatty acids that can change the gut bacteria, is your fermented foods. And also probiotic pills, capsules. The fermented foods like sauerkraut or kimchi or apple cider vinegar or any of the fermented vegetables, like the Japanese eat a tremendous amount of fermented vegetables. And these high probiotics, as an example, you can take a pill with all the different strains in it, and you might get 20, even 30 billion organisms in one capsule. Well, 3 forkfuls of sauerkraut will give you 10 trillion of those bacteria. So fermented foods and even taking probiotics for children and other what's called polyphenol-rich high-fiber foods may help increase the beneficial bacteria in your gut and impose gut health, gut, brain, and heart health on all three of them. So this is how this whole system works. We're now understanding how what you eat affects your behavior. I think any grandmother would tell you that, eating healthy food and not eating junk food. And also we now are understanding that in ADD and autism, they're using high amounts of fermented foods or the unique probiotics that children can take, and it's bringing about changes in their behavior. So it's then important to constantly be working to increase the beneficial bacteria in your gut. And improving the gut will improve the gut, heart, and brain connections and health. By the way, all of this information that I got came from the National Institutes of Health and the National Library of Medicine. So that's where I got this information. That's to help you understand the relationship between diet and nutrition and the relationship between your gut and your heart and your brain. Sometimes when you eat something and that something really makes your stomach feel badly and you get that nausea, it's difficult to actually be around people. When you're nauseous and you don't feel well, you just want to be alone and just kind of get through it as much as possible. So you'll also find that when you feel good and everything is working harmoniously, that you enjoy being around people and that people that you like, that you interact with. So this is the understanding of how that gut, heart, and brain work. And again, when you touch your heart and then you pray or concentrate, the idea is to get that emotional part that you feel and what you think to be synchronized. That's how prayer, when you start looking at some of the understandings like Greg Braden, I think, is one of the best, and he'll talk about how do you make prayer work. And again, it has to do with the brain in the heart and the brain in your head. And the mere fact that you touch your heart center, your consciousness goes wherever you're touching. So understanding that concept, that's how when you touch your heart and then get into a prayer. And one of the things that we learn in that, it has to be active. I was listening to a lecture. They were in an arid area, I think, in Mexico, and they were Greg Braden was talking with some healers, and they were talking about that they needed rain, and so people were going to pray for rain. And he expressed that you can't pray for rain because what happens is that you're implying that the rain is in the future. And so it's always in the future. And he said how you get that prayer to work is that you have to feel the emotional state and feel what it's like to have it already be raining. So the idea is giving thanks to the rain and imply that it's already raining and you want to feel how it feels to feel that rain. Not looking to the future, but looking at an active. So as an example, when I give prayers to cancer patients, I love and appreciate my immune system for always keeping me healthy and cancer-free. So it's an active thing that's happening. You're implying that your immune system is already on your side, that your immune system is already working to keep you healthy. The idea is that the prayer You have to feel the emotional state as if the prayer has already been answered, and not to put it in the future. This is Eliezer Ben Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Every human on the planet has to deal with three things, and every human on the planet has to deal with their physical body, and their physical body as a machine, as a car, as a machine. How is that machine working? Is it a comfortable place to be? Is my spirit, my selfhood that lives in this body, is it comfortable? Is the body responding in the way it needs to be? Do I treat the body as a living temple as it needs to be treated? Now think of it. How many people, I don't care if you're religious or not, but if you've been in a temple or a church, even archaeological, an old temple or an old church that might even be broken down, but what happens when you walk into there? All of a sudden your voice changes. And you're like reverent, and you're whispering as you look around, and you look at some of these big beautiful cathedrals around the world, especially in England when I went, and in Europe some of those cathedrals are just beautiful, and you walk in and all of a sudden you're just in awe. And again, you know, that's that spirit talking. And how is it when you live in this human body? The second thing that everybody has to deal with is their mind. How do they think? How do they process information? How do you come to a rational conclusion about any subject that you're thinking about? And then the third thing that everybody has to deal with is their emotions. How do I feel about things, which is very different than how I think about things? As an example, you can think one way, oh, I'm so angry at somebody, or I'm thinking that I really want to just do them harm. Or emotionally, I'm thinking that. But yet, intellectually, I say to myself, no, don't do anything. You don't want to go to jail. So your mind can be very different and thinking the exact opposite of what emotionally you're thinking. Well, you can assess that from the iris of the eyes. And one of the things that iridology taught is that every trait you see in iridology is something wrong. And that used to bother me, even when I studied with Bernard Jensen in the late 60s, and Ray Yancey, Lionel Silver, all of the greats in iridology through the early 70s, and studying around the world different techniques of iris assessment. You know, the iridology, every trait, every fiber you saw was always something wrong. Where in the RAID method, you're understanding what is the lesson behind what it is you want. What is the brain attempting to learn? And so that's what it does. So when you look in someone's eyes, and sometimes, you know, before the computer and all of these, new assessment tools where we can take photographs, so you can see where the fibers separate and they almost look like petals or open holes in the eye. Or you can see dark spots, you know, whether they're dark black or brown or yellowish spots. You can see little white spots all the way around the edge. You can see dark circle around the outside edge or a white circle around the outside. Everything you see in the eye has an interpretation. And I love the RAID method because it tells you what the brain is attempting to learn. So it'll tell you how your machine is working. Is it a strong constitution or a weak constitution? It'll tell your mind how it processes information. Are you primarily auditory or visual or kinesthetic? Meaning every human on the planet processes information one of those three ways, or possibly all of the three ways in combinations. Auditory people use auditory words when they're speaking, and they're going to use words like, are you listening to me? Does that sound right? Let's talk about it. Those are all sound words. Then there's the emotional visual people, and they're going to words like, do you see my point? Imagine this, or look at it from my point of view. And then you have kinesthetic people that talk about physical things, and I can't stand that, or don't be so rough. Okay, those are physical words, and so you can tell a lot. So when they're auditory, visual, or kinesthetic, you learn to communicate in that mode. You can also tell, is someone primarily introverting or extroverting? And you look at what's called the autonomic nerve wreath, or we call it the ring of expression. Is it tight and squeezed against the pupil, or is it out and far away and is expansive? That can tell us, are you primarily extroverting or primarily introverting? You take someone that's primarily an extrovert, they're very good at social influences. What do they need to learn? They need to learn introvert things like sitting still and learning to focus and concentrate. And then the introvert, they're very good at focus and concentration. What do they need? More social outlook. They need to be able to go out and be social and experience other people. Then again, you can look at, when you look at the traits in the eye, are there more traits in the left eye or more traits in the right eye? You can look at primarily right brain or left brain. I know there's a lot of controversy now in psychology whether right brain or left brain is accurate. We've seen it accurate for many, many years, and we can tell when someone is left brain, that's the right side of the body, and when they're right brain, that's the left side of the body, and different types of behavior. So you're able to get a lot of assessment through that. Now, a lot of naturopaths specialize in that, whether it's iridology or the RAID. Then there's diagnostic techniques of when you read a blood chemistry. How do you read a blood chemistry? What does it mean when you look at liver enzymes or kidney enzymes, or you look at all of those numbers that come? You know, people hear of a CBC with a differential or a complete metabolic panel. What do those things mean? And then when you look at those numbers, ALT, AST, and bilirubins, and BUN, blood urea nitrogen, and creatinine, and all of these different words that you see on a chemistry, what do they mean? How do you interpret that? Again, most naturopaths, some learn that. Many of them don't learn that. And then there's, other techniques of understanding, and that's in different aspects of psychology and face reading and understanding body reading and what happens. How does someone walk? Are they leaning to the left, leaning to the right? When you look at their walking gait, are their feet pointed outward? We used to call that duck walking. Or are their feet pointed inward? And we used to look at that in pigeon-toed. And when you look at a car, again, in you look at the front tires and you see one side of the tire is worn more than the other side of the tire, you would know that you have to go get your wheels aligned. Well, when you look at someone's shoes and one side of the shoe is worn very well and the other side is not, do you have your legs realigned? You know, when you see someone standing there and their legs are pointed outward or inward, or they're, you can see that their posture is either leaning forward or leaning backward, and there's a tilt in their pelvis, and so their neck has to go forward. What does all of that mean? What happens with structure and function? And naturopaths are experts in structure and function. We are allowed to talk about that in the healthcare industry. And what a lot of naturopaths don't even realize is that you can go back to all the way back to 1928, and in the National Registry of Jobs and Skills, naturopathy is actually listed as a profession that is totally separate and distinct from the medical profession. So naturopathy is not controlled by the medical profession. It is a synced and distinct medical assessment tool, and they use natural things and light, and we use the earth and posture and natural things, and we use electricity and heat and far infrared, and we use different types of treatment modalities. So where in traditional medicine, allopathic medicine, what do? They look at drugs and alleviation of symptoms. And in naturopathy, what do? You look at how do you enhance health. And we do that by looking at the body systems. And we can tell, is that system in balance with the other systems? And so you look at that and are able to use that knowledge so that you can then make a good assessment program, whether someone comes into your office because they're suffering from cancer or arthritis or autoimmune diseases. One of the good things in naturopathy is we don't really care what the disease is called. We only care that you approach balance and that you learn to enhance the immune system. You enhance the body's physiology. The body only has physiology to deal with. That's what it can do. It can raise and lower temperatures. It can increase the rate of an organ, or it can decrease the rate of an organ. So it can do things physiological to bring about changes in the body. And there is a direct relationship between structure and function. So that's the differences between natural medicine and allopathic medicine. So right now, one of the things that's happening in allopathic medicine, and this is quite disturbing, because we were told that some 81% of Europe's overdose death rates in 2015 were related to opioids. And right now, painkillers are increasing the prescription and the risks of obesity and dying. 95% they're increasing. And that's revealing shocking new research, as prescriptions for these pain-killing drugs doubled to 24 million in only 10 years. Okay, so opioids, along with heart disease and stroke or diabetes, are the leading causes of death now. The medication combination also increases users' risks of high blood pressure. And opioids are sedating and making people inactive and disturbing their metabolism and affecting their psychology. Research from the largest study of its kind reveals patients taking these painkillers, along with medications from heart disease or stroke or diabetes, are 95% more likely to become obese. And because of these sedative drugs make people's immune system and metabolism slower. So please be careful, and they're becoming more and more addictive. Research about these opioids, please do your best to get off of those and use different techniques to help, natural techniques that might be available. And we will be right back. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. When I learned back in the 80s about the RAID, I was already an iridologist, having studied with some of the best in the world for 20 plus years, studying with Bernard Jensen, known as one of the greatest of this past century. The RAID method is the psychological assessment of what's going in the eyes. And what it does is it tells you what the brain wants to know. What is the brain attempting to learn when you're a kid growing up? How do we learn? What happens is we get kicked, battered, emotionalized, and traumatized into our own personal growth. It's either a stepping stone or a stumbling block. And so it depends how you relate to it. No person can ever go back and start over with a new beginning. But anyone can start from now and choose to have a new ending. That story of your life, you can at any point decide to change the way you relate to that baggage that you carry, make a different ending in the story. one of the things that it does, it'll tell you the brain's lessons of those issues. If you have an issue with your father, your mother, okay, you have issues with fear or angers, and what are those teaching the brain? I want to make sure that I cover this article because there's been a lot of information on the HPV vaccines. Medical journals confirms that the HPV vaccine causes more harm than good, according to the science. The author, by the way, is facing death threats. The author of the study had to use a pseudonym because you can't talk negatively against the studies on vaccines, and the pharmaceutical industry and the government is pushing the HPV vaccine. And there was an article that came out in the Journal of Medical Ethics. They noticed that there was a significant rise in invasive cervical cancer incidence from 2014 and 2015 and all the way up to 2018, especially among women ages 20 to 49 years old, and the age range during which the women often get the HPV vaccine. This study was done in Sweden. In medicine, sometimes preventative measures and treatments have the opposite effect, whether it's antidepressants making people suicidal or chemotherapy that spreads cancer rather than getting rid of it. Well, it's just shocking how bad some of these supposed solutions to health problems really are. Well, now the new contender that's finally emerged in the form of the HPV vaccine. We've known a long time that this vaccine is bad news, but now the study has shown that it actually raises a woman's risk of getting cervical cancer instead of preventing it, as it's intended. Unfortunately, people will never know about this fact because the study was retracted, and they retracted it because the author would not use their real name, because they did print the name, and now the author is facing death threats and repercussions from the FDA. Anyway, the article was published again in the Journal of Medical Ethics, and it has shown conclusively that women that get the HPV vaccine can have all kinds of side effects, including Guillain-Barré disease. And so that's one of the things that we would suggest, not taking that vaccine. Again, the only vaccines I really recommend is meningitis for those of kids going to college, and the rabies vaccine. Both of those are effective, and other vaccines, like for influenza, are not effective. The CDC came out that for 35 years in a row, they've picked the wrong vaccine for the influenza. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. People don't realize that we put out a frequency, and we put out a magnetic field from our body, and that magnetic field, there's different frequencies of that magnetic field, but the strongest frequency comes from about 3/8 of an inch from our skin, and then there's it all comes from the heart, and that magnetic field, each frequency that gets higher goes farther and farther, and there's frequencies that can actually go a half a mile around in every direction. So when you're in a group of people, each of those frequencies that comes from the heart intermingle with each other and produce its own frequency of when they intermingle. Can you imagine? That's where they've done experiments on peace, and I know a couple of the universities did some experiments on the ethers. There was an experiment back in 1887 called the Michelson-Morley experiment that attempted to prove the ethers, which is the matrix that holds the entire universe together. It's that field that is so high frequency but it's what gives rise to all atomic structures and all movement. Well, they did a study back then in 1887 and were attempting to see whether this frequency exists or not. They didn't have the proper tools back then, so they came to the conclusion that it did not exist. Well, there was another study done by the United States Air Force. It was either done in the late 90s or the early 2000s. I don't remember the exact date that they did, but they repeated the Michelson-Morley experiments to find out about the ethers, and that's spelled E-I-T-H-E-R or A-E-T-H-E-R, the ethers. Not ether the gas, but the ethers the matrix. And they did and repeated that experiment. Now, I thought it should have been worldwide news, front page news in every newspaper in the world, because what they found is that this inherent matrix of energy that touches everyone in the world does exist. So they had the proper tools, the Michelson-Morley. You can look that up, Michelson-Morley experiment, and you can also look up the United States Air Force repeating that experiment. And they did say that, yes, there is a field that permeates everywhere at all times. And every single thing actually reacts in this field. And we now know that this field, there's a actual electromagnetic energy that's produced by the heart. The heart actually has around 40,000 separate nerve cells that are very similar to brain cells. And they talk about that there is another brain in the heart, and they are totally independent. And those cells, those neuron cells in the heart, have their own memory, and they have their own ability to act independently of the brain. One of the things that you can do, how to do your own healings and how to manifest, utilize that matrix of energy. Any place you touch on your body, is that's where your consciousness goes. So when you want to do a meditation or a healing, whether it's for yourself or for others, you want to go into your heart, not your mind, into your heart. And you just take your hands and touch that breastbone right next to your heart. And because you touch that heart, your consciousness will go to that. And when you can use your mind at that point to think of prayers, whether it's a prayer for self or a prayer for others, you want to manifest that from the heart. And that frequency then will move outwards from your heart. Now, for those of you that have cancer or any other kind of a serious disease, let me give you a prayer that is extremely effective. And knowing about this field and this frequency field, you touch your heart, slow your breathing down. You can inhale about to the count of 5 and exhale to the count of 7. The mere fact of extending the length of the inhale stops the stress response. So when you're under a stressful situation, the fact of breathing slowly and calmly will affect the parasympathetic-sympathetic nervous system. But when you have a disease, you want to touch that place just next to your heart. You want to center yourself for about 3 or 4 breaths, extending that exhale at least to the count of 7. Now, when I studied in the temple, they taught us to increase that length to as much as possible, to double that over a period of time. And when you do that, it changes the entire manifestation of frequencies in the body. So this prayer, as what you want to do is give gratitude, is to give thanks. And one of the things about prayer is, don't ask for something in the future. Like, don't ask for something of saying, please heal me, Lord, please heal me, because that implies that the healing is in the future. What you want to do is produce the feeling in your heart that it's already happened, that the prayer has already been answered, and you want to feel that feeling. So one of the things you do, you're going to lower the breathing, you're going to touch your heart, and then you're going to use a prayer of, and if you're a Christian, as an example, you would say it in Christ's name. If you're a Buddhist, in Buddha's name. If you're Jewish, in God's name. I don't care who you invoke, but it's a higher divinity other than self. And you say, I love and appreciate my immune system for always keeping me healthy and cancer-free. And you say that three times, touching your heart center, and you feel that actual energy of it already being answered. So you feel the healing that's already taken place. This is the way to pray properly. Don't ask for it to rain. Feel the mud between your toes and that it's already rained. Make the feeling that it's already happened. So when you pray, don't pray for something in the future. You pray that it's already happened, and you create the feeling in your heart, and that frequency will expand outward. Look up the U.S. Air Force. They did the study. It was in the late 90s or early 2000, and they proved that this inherent matrix, this field, exists throughout the entire universe. And with every breath you breathe, you manifest divinity. Life itself is a manifestation of divinity. Learning to control your breathing, increasing the length of the exhale, will actually change your parasympathetic nervous system, and it will help you reinforce the prayers that you make. And again, the prayer has already occurred. The answer is already there. Using something called neuro-linguistic programming and rapid eye desensitization, whenever you have a thought that is negative, merely look up with your eyes and say cancel. Look up with your eyes and say cancel. And that will help to alleviate that negative energy from your being. So these are just some tidbits that I've added. And again, whether you're alive or dead, that frequency still exists, and we are in tune. And what they found, as an example, there's a holographic to the universe itself. And what happens at one section of the universe is instantly known at the other side of the universe. And this is faster than the speed of light. They have done some research. If you really want to find out about that, there were two books that you could read. One is called A Secret Life of Plants, and they'll tell you about some of the experiments that were done, hooking up plants to lie detectors, and then putting the person that owned the plant in a plane 10,000 feet in the air, 600 miles away. They would take a match, as an example, and put it next to the human, or they would take a needle and they would stick the arm of the person that owned the plant, and without any time variant, that plant would register on these micro lie detector tests. They also did another one called The Secret Life of Cells, and they took human cells and they were able to do the same thing. They would take, as an example, yogurt, and divided into two beakers, one beaker in one room, another beaker in another room, encased in lead. And they would again hook up the yogurt into these special electronic lie detector tests. They would drop a drop of hydrogen peroxide in the one beaker in the other room. And in the other room, surrounded by lead, that beaker of yogurt reacted. And again, there was no time variant. It was instantaneous. So these are great studies if you want to look at it. And I'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Thank you for joining us, Natural Solutions Radio.
What are some good herbs for a two-year-old to take for food allergies and climate allergies, pollen, etc.?
Well, one of the best things in the world for allergies is vitamin C and bioflavonoids. The best thing in the world is there's a liquid bioflavonoid, and that's for children. It's very easy to take because you can take a quarter teaspoon, a half a teaspoon, even a full teaspoon. Some adults, as an example, will take a tablespoon. The normal dose from the bioflavonoid liquid is a quarter teaspoon. So taking even a tablespoon, that's 30,000 milligrams of vitamin C complex. Another thing that we have is Nature Sunshine has a very good combination called ALJ formula. It comes in capsules, pills, and liquids, and that is specific for allergies. During allergy season, it's very difficult to keep that in stock. So ALJ formula, especially the liquid for the children, it's not in alcohol, so you don't have to worry about that. A lot of extracts are in alcohol, and as much as possible, you don't want that because giving a lot of different extracts to children, they can end up having a shot of whiskey. You know, it's a shot of alcohol a day, and that's too much, so you have to be careful. But bioflavonoid, vitamin C complex, and ALJ formula. Here was a great article. For those of you that love coffee, they found that drinking coffee or taking caffeine supplementation, it was found to reduce the inflammation and oxidative stress, and it stimulated muscle growth in athletes. People around the world just love their daily caffeine fix. Well, in the United States alone, about 84% of the population drinks at least one caffeinated beverage a day. Well, a new study led by researchers from the University Center of Brasa Grande and the Federal University in Brazil revealed that athletes could also benefit from caffeine since it lowers oxidative stress after a workout. And the title of the article was called The Effects of Caffeine Supplementation on Trained Individuals Subjected to Maximal Treadmill Test. Now, a cup of coffee has anywhere from 33 to 80 milligrams of caffeine, so you want to drink one or two cups of coffee in the morning. And they have found that a little caffeine in the morning, especially if you're an athlete, there's no problem. You can get benefits from that. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning on Natural Solutions Radio with me, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph. Today's show is brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally. Prime Longevity, check it out. PrimeLongevity.com, the best anti-aging supplement on the market.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.